What's up, everybody? This is Eric DeMond, and you are now tuned into the Father Redeemed podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Eric DeMond. I am the author of a book entitled Father Redeemed. And in this book, which is based off of my personal story of being a weekend dad for over 30 years, and by the term weekend dad, what I mean is a father who is parenting his children from outside the home, whether that's due to a breakup with a girlfriend who you had a child with, you were married, you had children, and then you became divorced and are now doing the whole weekend visitations, holidays, you know, summer visitations, paying, you know, child support, or if there's another circumstance where you are financially responsible for a child who you are not currently living in the home with. The reason why I decided to write this book is because during my time as a weekend dad, I have noticed a trend in our country where fathers are continuing to be minimized, or the impact of fathers is continuing to be minimized. There are more and more children living in single parent homes. I think the last statistic that I looked at said that 61% of the homes in America are fatherless, meaning there's no father in the household on the day-to-day basis. That statistic is even higher in communities of color. So it's alarming. It's an alarming statistic. More of our children are committing suicide, boys especially, are prone to contemplating or committing suicide 3 to 5 times more than girls or women. And, you know, you've got a lot of talk about toxic masculinity. You've got a lot of talk about, you know, deadbeat fathers, men who are not stepping up to take care of their responsibility. And then, of course, you've got the family court system, which goes out of its way to penalize fathers financially as well as emotionally, by not standing up for fathers' rights and forcing moms to make the children available to fathers as set forth in divorce decrees or by visitation schedules. So fathers have a lot coming at them. You know, it's tough to be a father in America when you are not in the home with your children, and as a result, the children suffer. So what I wanted to do in writing this book was not only share my experience of having dealt with that. I'm 50 years old. I'm a father of 4 kids by 2 different mothers. I became a dad the first time at the age of 18, right out of high school. Matter of fact, after I joined the military, gone through boot camp, and came home on leave and found out that I was going to be a dad. And so that was a huge shock to me at that time, back in 1992. And so me and the mother of my first son, my first child, were not together. We had just recently graduated from high school. So we were in no position to become parents. We were not mature enough. But hey, if you act irresponsibly and do things you're not supposed to be doing, you have to suffer the consequences, right? And so we did. Fast forward 14 years later, after I'd gone to college, gotten out of the military, and kind of matured and established myself, you know, as a man, and was financially stable, I got married. And I tried to do it the right way the second time. So, me and a young lady I'd met in college got married, and we had 3 children. That marriage lasted for just under 12 years, and it produced 3 children. So that's how I got to 4. There's a bit of an age gap between my older son and his younger siblings, but they all know each other. We're all family. We treat each other as such. But over the course of that time, you know, since my first son was born, you know, I've had to endure the challenges of being a weekend dad or having to father outside the home. So in that process, you know, I've learned a lot about faith, learned a lot about perseverance and how to maintain a positive state of mental health, just in general, while battling against the evil forces coming against me, those same evil forces that come against all men, but against fathers in particular, as I mentioned, you know, family court system, dealing with baby mama drama, you know, the societal descriptions or depictions of men, you know, who are fathering from outside the home as deadbeat dads, or, you know, men who don't take care of their responsibility. There are some men out there who don't take care of their responsibility, but by and large, the majority of the men out there who are in that position do take care of their responsibility. And so we've got to change the narrative. You know, those stereotypical terms of deadbeat dad or absentee father, in today's society, those situations are few and far between. I get that, you know, most stereotypes are based on some shred of truth, and that's, I can appreciate that, right? Back in the 80s, when the divorce rate started skyrocketing from about 19% to where it is today at you know, just under 60%. Yeah, there were a lot of men, a lot of fathers who abandoned their families, who, you know, chose not to stay involved in the lives of their children. And that produced, you know, a generation of children, the Gen Zers, and some millennials, who had very fractured relationships with their fathers. And so in many ways, I get it, but it's 2025. With the advent of technology, with, you know, the fallout from all of those situations in the past, I think a lot more fathers are engaged with their kids at a much higher rate and more engaged, more involved with their children through the use of technology, text messaging, FaceTiming, video conferencing, you know, and phone calls. So what I want to do is I want to change the narrative about weekend dads, fathers outside the house or home. And I also want to encourage those men who are dealing with all the situations that I mentioned before. And I want to inspire and motivate the ones who may not be doing their absolute best to be involved in their children's lives to get back on track. Our kids need us. The world needs us. If anyone tries to tell you that fathers don't matter, they're wrong, right? If they're saying that, they're coming from a place of bitterness, misinformation, and just a lack of understanding as to how important fathers are in the lives of their children. So with that, again, that's the goal of this podcast. We're going to be talking through some situations that I wrote about in my book, but we're also going to add, you know, a biblical element to our discussions in the future. I'm a believer in Christ. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't shy away from that for nobody. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say it. It's only God who's brought me through some of the things that I've gone through, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have strengthened me and helped me to persevere and guided me, directed my paths for me to get to where I am today. I still am raising kids. You know, my younger three that I mentioned earlier are still under 18, two boys and a girl. My daughter is the baby, and she's 11 years old. So I'll be doing this for another 7.5 years. I jokingly refer to it as, you know, I've got 7.5 years left on my sentence. I'll be paying child support, and I'll be in financial prison, if you will, until she walks across that stage in May of 2032. So I got some time, and I got a ton of stories that I can share, a ton of advice and suggestions as to how you can weather the storm, persevere through the entire process, and increase your faith, build your faith, strengthen your faith, and come out on the other side, you know, still intact. One of the things I write about in the book is you got to take care of yourself. You know, the three phases of yourself: your spiritual health, your mental or emotional health, and your physical health. I've also created an acronym around the word FATHER, F-A-T-H-E-R. And that acronym begins with the letter F for forgiveness, A for accountability, T for trust, trusting God specifically, H for humility, E for elevation, and R for redemption. Because ultimately, that's where we're trying to get to. We're all trying to be redeemed, not only in God's sight through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but in the eyes of our children as well, because they're watching us. Children learn first from their parents, from both their mother and their father. God designed it to where each of us are born into a family as a result of two people coming together, a man and a woman, a father and a mother. And that's how it was designed. In today's society, you've got those that are of the opinion who seem to think that a woman can do it all by herself, that mothers are the only ones that you know, can raise kids, that mother's feelings and the mother's position should be prioritized over that of the father. And that's just not true. That's not the way God designed it. That's a cultural thing. That's a worldly belief. It takes two parents. You know, men and women play different roles. We bring different things to the table. Fathers typically bring discipline, identity, and validation, and teach their kids or prepare their kids to survive in the world, just like animals out in the wild. You know, they learn those instincts that they need to survive and that self-control, that discipline from their fathers. Mothers, you know, teach their kids how to nurture, how to do things in order to set themselves up for success. You know, mothers are more attuned to the emotional aspect of things. And so all children need to be healthy from an emotional and mental standpoint. And mothers do a lot of teaching as well. But it typically is more on the emotional development, the emotional maturity side of things, how to take care of yourself, how to take care of your home, you know, cooking, cleaning. I'm a firm believer that boys and girls should both be taught how to cook and clean, how to take care of a house, how to take care of your body. I was raised by, you know, a mother who was very strong in her opinion that she didn't want her boys having to depend on any woman for anything once we got grown. So she taught us how to cook, how to clean, how to iron clothes, how to do laundry. And I'm so thankful for that. But that just speaks to the difference between, you know, what children are taught and the lessons that they get, the teachings that they get from the father and from the mother. Again, they're supposed to work together, but as we often see in our society, mothers and fathers do not work together, especially after divorce, a bad breakup. Oftentimes, you know, mothers poison the kids against the fathers, and fathers sometimes don't spend enough time or engage enough with their children for those children to learn the things they need to learn and to develop that healthy relationship. So again, it's not easy, but it's necessary. It's necessary for mothers and fathers to both be involved in the lives of their children. It's necessary for mothers and fathers to work together to co-parent as effectively as they can for the sake of the children. And it's important for the children to have healthy relationships with both parents, not just one. So my goal, another goal in this podcast, is to show women a different side, a different perspective on co-parenting. Women historically have helped to create these stereotypes and some of the negative feelings towards fathers, weekend dads, like myself. And we need to acknowledge that. I need women to acknowledge that. I need mothers to acknowledge that, single moms especially, because you're not only making it more difficult for fathers to engage and to want to be involved in their children's lives, but you're also poisoning those children against the other parent, and you're causing them to have issues with their own identity. Here's the reality. Every child is made up of two parents or two individuals. They inherit traits from both the mom and the dad. So when you have a mother who is bashing the father, a child's father, you're making that child insecure or ashamed or resentful of a part of themselves. You're making it harder for them to develop their own identity because their identity is a culmination of various pieces of their parents. Now, ultimately, they'll develop their own identity. They'll become who they become as a result of experiences and those teachings. But if they're only getting those teachings from one side of the coin or one side of the equation, then they're missing out on a whole other side. They're not being able to, they're not having the opportunity, I should say, to embrace that other side of their genetic pool, that other side of their personality or their traits. And that's just not fair. It's just not fair to the children. And what a lot of single moms don't understand is that you end up causing a lot more emotional damage to your own children by being bitter towards their father or bad mouthing, saying negative things, criticizing them when they act like their other parent or they do things that, you know, that resemble their other parent, and you scold them for it, you criticize them for it, you make them feel bad for it. All you're doing is inflicting emotional damage on your own children. And I know most mothers don't want to do that. They don't intend to do that. But you also have to recognize it. And so hopefully as we go through some of these discussions, I can help enlighten more women, more single moms as to the critical role that they play in their children's lives in developing a healthy sense of self, a healthy identity. And you are not hindering, hopefully you're not hindering them developing a healthy relationship with their fathers. You're doing whatever you can to support that, to advocate for that, and to facilitate that. So in the end, I think what we can do, what we can accomplish here together, if you subscribe to this podcast, is we can create healthier families and we can create a healthier society longer term, because everything that we see in our society, the crime, the violence, the corruption, poverty, right? Lack of education, all of the ills of our society have roots within the family unit. I'll say that again. Every vice or societal issue that we have in our world stems from dysfunction within the family, within the home. When we are not equipping our children with the tools that they need to be successful, to be healthy, to be prosperous, we're doing them a disservice and we're setting them up for failure. We're sending damaged individuals out into the world and we're expecting them to be able to figure it all out on their own. And that's just not fair. Again, that's not fair to our children. So we got to do better. And again, it starts in the home. I mentioned the Bible. One of my favorite verses, and one of the verses that kind of inspired me to write this book comes out of Psalms 107, verse 2. And in that particular verse, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." That particular scripture gave me the courage to write this book. This book has been in my heart for about 9 years now. As I was working to recover from my previous divorce in 2015, the book had just been on my spirit. Holy Spirit was prompting me to write the book. But I had to get to a point where I was healthy enough to write this book. This book has been a huge source of healing for me and my family. My prayer is that one day my kids will read it too, so that they can understand what their dad went through. But also, I hope it serves as a source of encouragement for them to try and avoid some of the mistakes I made. I don't encourage anyone to become a father before they're ready. I don't encourage anybody to get married before they're mature enough to deal with the responsibility that comes with marriage. Marriage is supposed to be for a lifetime. It's not supposed to be a temporary short-term thing. It's supposed to be permanent, till death do us part. But in our current society, marriage has really lost its appeal, its unique sovereignty, if you will. People get married now and they get divorced so quickly. It's ridiculous. It really is. Something's got to change about that. And it's my prayer that maybe I can do, you know, maybe I can make some progress, or maybe I can help change, you know, that in some small way. But in any case, I think we've talked long enough for this introductory episode. Again, my name is Eric DeMond. I wrote a book entitled Father Redeem. Please go out and get a copy. We are going to be starting our discussion on the next episode about, you know, more details in the book. We'll kick off that discussion, and eventually we'll get into the FATHER acronym. But again, I encourage you to read the book. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Take care and God bless.